Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, it is Thursday and John Giles is in studio. We're looking back on the World Cup. We're going to go through some of the big stories. We're going to name the best player, the best goal, the biggest disappointment, the worst manager, the best manager. And John, I guess there's no question about the best team. Did the best team win this World Cup?
Oh, I think so, Nathan. Yeah, they got better as the Cup went along, I think, as the tournament went along. And in the end, they actually played very well in the semi-final and the final. And that was down a lot, I think, to my pal Pogba, who played like a real pro in the semi. And I think we had a session beforehand, and my concern was, does he go back to be the social media guy? Or is he going to be the player he was in the semi-final? And looking for France, he turned out to be the player he was in the semi-final and played really well. So it's definitely France, I would say, overall, deserved to win it.
We're live on all our social channels as well. So if you want to leave a comment on facebook.com/offtheball, on Periscope or on YouTube, we will put it to John over the next half an hour or so. So let's talk Pogba first and what changed from the early rounds of the tournament and even from the last couple of years, where I know you've been frustrated with the lack of discipline, with his performances. And maybe part of that was that he's not the type of player that Jose Mourinho hyped him up to be. What was the difference in terms of his discipline and positional sense in those last two games to what we've seen at United over the last couple of years?
I think for the semi-final, I don't know who got to him, whether it was Deschamps or himself. He decided that he was going to be a professional footballer, not a social media star. In other words, he's going to be a pro. He's going to go out and play like a pro, not dancing around, giving passes that looked spectacular that weren't on, doing all sorts of tricks rather than getting the business done. Semi-final, he was very good. He was getting back at it. He played like a player should play, and he has the ability to do it. So it's definitely a mental thing with him. I think the social media, it definitely got to him somewhere along the line. Going to be a social media star, going to have the haircut, going to have all that. And that took over and made that more important than actually being a player. For whatever reason, I don't know. Certainly in the semi-final, he was a player. Mm. And in the final, he was a player.
So
and
that side of it needs to be the social media side, as you describe it. Yeah. That needs to be the final 5%, not the first 5%.
Exactly.
On the pitch.
In fact, he should be even less than 5%.
Right.
Because he will get more credit for being a real player than he will be for being a social media star. Genuine admiration and respect. And if you look at the papers this morning, Nathan, Mourinho actually, to be fair to me, Mourinho's a football guy. He said whatever made him do what he did in the semi-final and the final, that's what I want him to do. In other words, be a pro. Right. Now, to go back to Mourinho, I don't think Mourinho handled Pogba very well last year. I think Deschamps did. I think his way of trying to get him to play the way he played in the semi-final and final was to humiliate him. Mm. And I think that made him worse. So what he's got to do, learn Mourinho, is whatever happened in France, whether it be Deschamps, he's got to get him privately and say, OK, what do you want to do? How can I help you to get him on side to do what he did in those particular matches?
Well, that's the big question now and the big problem in some ways that Mourinho is going to face, because we've seen a different Paul Pogba. He can do this. He can do it in the biggest of games.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't start the season playing like that for Manchester United, the question will be asked of Mourinho, well, what's Mourinho's problem that he can't get the best out of him? Because there were moments. There was the pass for Mbappe with the outside of his boot that was brilliant. It was the right ball at the right time.
Yeah.
But he seemed to try balls like that at Manchester United when it wasn't the right ball at the right time. Is it a simpler message?
It's the social media stuff. Social media, to me, is you're showing off rather than being effective, right? So I think what happened to him with Manchester United, I think Mourinho should have got a hold of him privately. I don't think Mourinho can do this, but I think he should have got a hold of him privately. And indeed, with any problem with a player, Nathan, I've never seen it work where you humiliated a player publicly and he played for you. Get him on his side. And nobody knows what Mourinho is saying to Pogba. He could be giving him the biggest telling off you ever seen. Like, I don't want you to do this. I want you to cut out. I want you to be a pro. Whatever way he's going to do it. But it's definitely on a one-to-one. Now, what Mourinho did against Spurs, remember the first time he started to fall out with Pogba, he took him off at halftime, humiliated him. Humiliated him, left him out for a few matches. Then he was trying the hard way to get the best out of him. And he certainly didn't. Right now, Deschamps must have, I think Deschamps was like, look, no good doing that. Wanted to be a real player. But it was between him, didn't humiliate him. So there's a big difference between telling somebody on the quiet and humiliating him. So I think Mourinho, for the right reasons, which was to get him to play in the way he should be playing, went about it in the wrong way. So he upset, whatever confidence Pogba had was gone. Right. So whatever happened to him, I don't know what happened before the semi-final or during the World Cup, but particularly the semi-final, but something got to this guy that, whether I'd say Deschamps would have a big influence because he's the manager, and maybe said, look, you've got to do it. If you don't do it, you'll be out of the team. This is what you do. You've got to be a pro. Don't care about social media. Don't care about your haircut, the dance or everything goes with it. We want you to play football.
And maybe Didier Deschamps, more than any other manager in world football, understands that role better because he had to sit in a French team where he was described as a water carrier, where there are these geniuses around him. And I'm sure he felt he had more talent than he was given credit for. Well, but he had to sit and do the boring things all the time.
Well, he did what was professional and what was needed at the time. You see, I'd say that a lot of players had a lot of respect. Where he got the water carrier from was actually from...
Cantona.
Do you know what I mean? Now, Cantona was a bit of a Pogba himself. You know what I mean? He'd have no respect for Deschamps because he wasn't spectacular. Mm. But he did a job and he was a real pro. So he'd want Pogba to be a real pro with more ability than he had. Other players had more ability than Deschamps, but he did his job. He did what he gave the team whatever he had. That's all you can ask of any player. And now Deschamps would know that Pogba wasn't doing that. Pogba was doing it for his own reasons, for the social media and being a star and showing off and all the various things he did. He was doing anything but being a pro. So I think Deschamps, as you said, would know what a pro is all about. Do what you're best for the team and do it in an honest way. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know whether it's Deschamps or any other influence, he did do it, particularly in the semi-final. Mm. Early on in the competition, he didn't do it so well. Semi-final, final, he did really well. So he showed, now Mourinho has a problem with him, because people are saying now they're going to blame Mourinho for it, right? Rather than Pogba, because I think Mourinho handled it. So when he gets him back, what's he going to say to Pogba? Sorry for what I said to you. I realise you can... I don't know what he's going to say, but he has a job to do with Pogba, to get Pogba, because he's in the paper this morning, Mourinho, saying, well, that's the way I want to play for Manchester United. But that's the problem. He has the problem now with Pogba.
Before we move on then to some of the awards for this World Cup, on the game itself, were they somewhat fortunate with the own goal, with the penalty award? Because a week ago we sat here and said if France get parity in midfield, they should win this because of the talent they have around the pitch. It wasn't one of Kante's better days. He ended up being substituted off. And by and large, certainly for the first 20 minutes or so, Croatia started that game brilliantly. So was there a touch of fortune or over the 90 minutes were France the better team?
Yeah, I think whatever breaks they were going, France got them. That would be my take. I thought Croatia started well, as you say. France weren't starting well. Then they got the penalty. Was it the penalty first one?
The own goal. Sorry, the first one.
Actually, yeah. I didn't think it was a free kick in the lead up to the first goal. I thought, well, all the players are doing it now. Griezmann looked for it and got it.
Without getting into 20 minutes on VAR, should they change it so that because VAR can't look at free kicks, it can only look at goal scoring changes?
Well, on the VAR, I would give the VAR all the responsibility and all the power to do it. You see, what's happened over the years, Nathan, they don't like to take the power away from the referees. Mm. And the referees don't like the power to be taken away from them. I think it should be taken away from them, right? Why not? Okay, because what happened with the referees, they didn't want to be shown up in any way, right? Nobody's going to show them up. If they'd taken that thing with Griezmann and gone to VAR, there's a good chance they would have said, no, he did dive there or he did take a knock. Why should it be left to the referee to do that?
And also with the handball, one of the criticisms of the referee was he went, he looked at it a couple of times, went to walk away and then went back to have a third look, which was almost seen as him being undecided, not being fully convinced, whereas maybe he was doing the right thing, just being 100%.
Well, I didn't think it was a penalty myself. Now, everybody has different ideas on it. But the penalty, when it's a handball, like, has to be intentional, right? So the ball comes over from a corner kick with a good bit of pace on it. The fella in front misses it. And in my opinion, it hit his hand, right? Now, what happens with the VAR and that? They show that in slow motion. Now, when you see something in slow motion, it always looks like it was intended. It has to, because it's in slow motion. If the ball was coming over with the player at that pace, he would have got out of the way of it. But he didn't have time to get out of the way of it. Right? So when you show it then in quick time, or then in slow time, it looks like he did put his hand to the ball. Everything does. So, but it has to be intentional. I can't see him when the ball's coming over that quickly. You've got to put your hand somewhere. It hits him on the hand. And obviously, if you're moving the hand in a certain way, it looks like you've, it's hand to ball. But why would he handle the ball in that particular situation? There was no danger on it in that. But that was VAR. But I think they can improve. I think they will improve VAR as they go on, which is a different subject. But to get back to what we were talking about before, whatever was going one way or the other, it definitely went to for France. Definitely. And Croatia, see, once the first goal goes in, like, it's a different game altogether. And then the second goal goes in. Do you know what I mean? Like, at a time when they had most of the ball, Croatia. But when we were talking before the match, actually, if they match them in midfield, they do have more talent up front, Spain, to do it. And I think that was the case. To be fair to them, that was the case as well, because they scored two good goals after that. But definitely, whatever was going, went France's way.
All right, stay with us, John. We're going to get into some of our awards categories right after this.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, you're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is in studio. John, we've just been looking back at the World Cup final. France are the World Cup winners. Our first award is for Best Manager. Didier Deschamps leading France to glory. Is he automatically manager of the World Cup?
Well, I think what he... No, I didn't fancy Deschamps before the match, before the tournament started. I thought he didn't do such a great job with France in the Euros and that. But I think he did a really good job here. He got Pogba playing for a start, which was a big help. And generally speaking, as the tournament went on, I think France got better and stronger. So you'd have to say, and they went on to win it, and win it well in the finish. And they had some hard matches along the way, Nathan. So, yeah, I would. If you win it, you must be doing something right. So I think he did a lot right and would definitely deserve to be best manager.
And showed the importance of having a game plan, and it seemed he was very sure of what he wanted from his team. You look at the two fullbacks he played, Pavard on the right and Hernandez on the left, two guys who generally play as centre-halves, whereas he had Sidibe and Mendy, who would bomb forward, who I'm sure the French public would love to have seen and would have taken them to another level attacking-wise, but actually was confident enough in himself to mould them into a team that would win rather than a team that maybe would play.
Well, that's what good managers do, Nathan. You know what I mean? They look at a situation, they might think, well, he's a better individual player, but for the balance of the team, that's the way to do it. And in other words, he's picking what he considers to be his best players in that position. That's what good managers do. But if we're talking about the worst manager...
Go on. Is it Roberto Martinez?
No. I'd say the Argentinian manager. I'm talking about Sampoli.
Sampoli.
He was definitely the worst. I mean, he was a disaster, I think, before they kicked the ball with the players. They had no confidence in him whatsoever. They got a hiding against
Croatia.
And he was, although he stayed on the bench, there was no doubt, and it was in the papers and everything, that the players were picking the team. You can't have that, Nathan.
Also, he was like a lunatic on the touchline, marching up and down, wasn't able to control his emotions on the sideline, which in times of need, which Argentina were, you can't imagine is the best way forward.
No, well, some managers do go a bit mad on the touchline, like Klopp does for Manchester City, but he gets a grip of the team in the dressing room. I think this fellow was going mad on the touchline and going even madder in the dressing room. So it just made a total...
There's no control anywhere.
No control anywhere. So he was a disaster.
Just briefly before we leave the manager side of it then, it fell very flat in the end for England and for Gareth Southgate with the way they exited the tournament to Croatia and then losing the third and fourth place playoff. But they're talking about longevity for once. There hasn't been this absolute panic and a change in manager. And you look at Didier Deschamps, who's been in that job for 6 years. Yogi Löw, the Germany manager, have been in the German job for a similar length of time. That level of continuity, is there enough from what you've seen from England to suggest that actually for once the future may be brighter, that they can go on from here?
I think what's going to happen now with Southgate, will come under more pressure now, because he reduced the pressure going into the World Cup. Now that they've come out of the World Cup, this team is going to get better. They're young. They're going to do this. They're going to do that and the other. I wouldn't be too sure about that. And the pressure's on them now, because they're talking about 2 years' time. Like, and going into a young team going in. Like, they're players. And in football, like 21, 22, 23, 24, it's not young.
Yeah. and who knows, a couple of injuries, he'd all his main players fully fit for this tournament. Exactly. Things change quickly.
It's in the future, and they did okay for what they had. They did okay. You got to look at the draw. Now they've got to go on. But I'd be very sceptical about this team improving the way they're talking about it, to be quite honest.
I know you've really enjoyed watching the World Cup for the last month, but a couple of disappointments. What was the biggest disappointment?
Oh, well, the disappointment in the tournament was definitely Germany getting knocked out the way they were from a team aspect. They had a nightmare of a team. Spain didn't do so well. Brazil didn't do as well as they could have done. Portugal went, a lot of big teams went out, as we know. But I think Spain was the most humiliating. The biggest disappointment player-wise was Neymar, without any question. I mean, this guy was going in to be the next World Cup star. And he was, in my opinion, a social media man. His behaviour in the tournament was dreadful. He didn't play very well. His behaviour with diving and going all over the place was disgraceful in many ways. So instead of coming out of this particular competition as the next Messi or the next Ronaldo or the next Pele, whatever it might be, he failed miserably in that way.
And he's not a kid either. He's going to be 30 by the time the next World Cup comes around in Qatar in 2022. And maybe it's hindsight, and we know that there were criticisms of Ronaldo in particular when he was younger. But you talk to and you hear from Ronaldo's teammates, even when he was at Manchester United, and they all admired his work ethic, and that Ronaldo seemed to realise at a young age, and Messi, that I can win all the individual awards, but I'm not going to win Champions League or league titles unless I have a team around me. Whereas everything you seem to hear from Neymar, Paris Saint-Germain, and even since that Mbappe may have to leave because of Neymar's demands, there was no sense of Neymar being a leader of this Brazilian team, of what was really a really talented Brazilian team, that if he had brought them all together, rather than it was, going to be the hero if we win this World Cup.
Yeah, well, the way you bring the team together, Nathan, is to go out and perform to the best of your abilities. He didn't do that. I think he was too wrapped up with being a star, again, the social media, having the haircut and all the various affectations, I would say. Whereas when Messi played and Pele and Ronaldo in a different way, Ronaldo's thing was always quite selfish in his own way and what he did. But ultimately, the team benefited from what he did. He didn't behave like Neymar in any way. I mean, he was a pro. He worked hard at his game and all the various things that he did. Messi was the ideal man in terms of team. Messi wasn't worried about his haircut. Get the reputation of being a leader on the field and doing it in a professional way. Now, you could see from the first match, anyway, when Brazil played, I remember the first time Neymar touched the ball, he got on the ball, there was a couple of players around him, and there was a simple pass on to one of his colleagues 10 or 12 yards away. He didn't give it to him. He tried to foot over the ball, a trick and that. In other words, from the start, he was going to, his thing to me was, I'm going to be the star here. I'm not going to be the best player. I'm going to be the star. So there's a big difference. So the way you become the real star is to be the best player. And he didn't do that. And he was the one, in my opinion, should be taken over from Ronaldo and Messi as one of the young, he's not young as you say, but as the next one of those particular players. And he failed miserably and didn't help Brazil along the way. Now, I don't think the manager helped him as well very much, but he certainly didn't do his stuff. And it was very, very disappointing.
All right, that is biggest disappointment of the World Cup. Want to talk about goal of the tournament, because there were some great goals from Cristiano Ronaldo's free kick in the final moments against Spain right at the start of the tournament.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi's goal against Nigeria, which you said at the time you felt was one of the greatest goals you'd ever seen because of the quickness of the way he was able to think his way through the situation. You had Belgium scoring in the final minute. You had Nacho earlier before Ronaldo's goal for Spain against Portugal. What's the one you've gone for?
I've gone for Pavard, is that his name?
That's it.
From France against Argentina. Mm. I think it was a beautifully technical goal in the way that hit the ball at a very important time.
So it had both brilliance and context.
Yes. I think Messi scored, which was a great goal, and it was important at the time, but it wasn't a goal that was going on to win the World Cup. Indeed, Ronaldo's wasn't, which was one of the great goals. But you have to look at the importance of the goal. And this was a hugely important match. When they were up against it, they weren't playing particularly well and really shut Argentina out of the game altogether. And I think from that time on, they actually got better, which happens in competition. You scored a really good goal in an important match. The team grows from there, Nathan. I think this goal had that importance about it.
It wasn't that dissimilar to another goal scored by a fullback, the goal scored by Nacho against Portugal. Technically, how hard is it? So this was the volley on the edge of the area that he seems to cut across the ball.
Yeah.
It spins beautifully. The camera angle is perfect behind it into the top corner. Technically, how difficult a skill is that?
Well, it's not easy because there's one way of doing it right and there's a million ways of doing it wrong. Because not only are you hitting it on the volley, you're hitting across the ball to get that swerve on it, which is just going inside the post. I mean, you couldn't have hit it better if you tried it 100 times after that. But it was at an important time of the match. You hit it well, and they went on to beat Argentina, as we know, and went on to win the World Cup.
Let's talk our player of the tournament then. And I'm excited, John, because I can see what's coming. The way you're talking about Paul Pogba, we're going to have the ultimate flip. You're going to ignore Kante, you're going to ignore Modric, and you're going to say Paul Pogba was the best player in this tournament.
No.
Right?
No.
You
couldn't be more wrong there, Nathan, actually. I think Pogba did well in the couple of matches, but Modric, from start to finish, led a team that weren't fancied, and showed. I think we spoke about this before. I think he's been the best player in his position for the last 5 years. The last great player in his position was Pirlo, who was doing it. What was about 5 years ago now, Nathan? I think this guy took up. Actually, he's the only one in the world doing it. I think De Bruyne has a chance of doing it if he matures with City and is allowed to play in the same position for Belgium. But Modric has been doing it for at least 5 years now. Actually, started with Spurs. He was doing it then, and he's got better and better, as players of his type do. Get better and better. I think he's 32 now, and he's probably at the peak of his career. He's got that experience behind him, where to go on the pitch, don't waste a step, do all the various things that this great player, pick out the right pass, play for the team, all the various things that great players do. And he did it in this particular competition. I mean, he's not playing in a great team, Nathan.
Well, there's one thing, and you can look at the success he's had at club level in winning four of the last five Champions League titles.
Yeah.
But he's playing in a brilliant Real Madrid side, where there's always an outball. Now, he had Rakitic alongside him, he had Mandzukic as an option. But to be able to play the exact same game and show the same level of bravery with those players around him.
Lesser players. In other words, he's risen above the players around him. It's more difficult to rise above the players in Madrid because they had so many good players. So it makes it even more, it makes it even better for Modric to do what he did in the team that he did. He's leading them. He's playing in it. He's getting on the ball, taking responsibility. I mean, the great thing about him showed his responsibility, a sense of responsibility to the team, was the time he missed a penalty in the normal time. That's nerve-wracking. That's really nerve-wracking. I've already missed one. Now I'm going into the shootout. But he was first up, if you notice in that, Nathan, after me, he was the first up to, right, I'm taking one on that. And thank goodness for him and for everybody, particularly him, he scored from it, which, it takes over from the penalty that he actually missed. But he's a great lad because everything that you see about Modric playing is for the team. I've never seen him shown off. I've never seen him being big-headed. I've never seen him being big-headed in any way. And that's why he would have the admiration of his colleagues, and not just the adoration, he would have the respect and affection from players. I mean, certain players that we know of who were great players, but their own colleagues didn't like them. No affection. So, and obviously, you better have the respect and the affection, but there's nothing better than having both. And I say the players in the team playing for Croatia would be delighted for him to get the
player to get the recognition.
I don't think they would be jealous of him or envious of him. I'd say they would say, because he did the best for them. You know, he didn't do the best for himself. And they would say, good luck to him. We're delighted for him.
Both himself and Pirlo were brilliantly talented players throughout their career. It feels as though it wasn't until they entered the later stages, though, that they were truly appreciated for what they could do. And I wonder with De Bruyne whether he's going to have to enter that stage of his career, because as we saw with Belgium, he threw him out in the right wing at times because he can be so dangerous in an attacking position but can't control a game there. That's more a mental thing for De Bruyne, whether he has it in him to sacrifice.
Well, to be fair to him, he didn't make that decision. That was a bad, really, again, going back to what I said earlier, that was a really bad decision for the manager, because now he's playing him out of position. But what happens in Modric's case and De Bruyne, actually, the older you get, the better you should get, because you learn from match to match to match to match. Don't go into that position, you go into that position where you become a master player. In that, and 32 is usually the age that you do it. Like when he was at Spurs, he was, what, 25, 26?
Yeah, it's a decade ago now, nearly, so.
Is it that long? So he was only 22 at that stage. Well, you know, those great players are not great players at 22. They're very promising players, but they're learning, learning, learning. See, what happens when you, in football, what should happen, Nathan, you should learn something from every match you play. So therefore, the more matches you play, the more you should learn. So when you get to 30 or 32, you've played in a lot of matches that you've learned from. Now you're at the masterclass. And that's what Modric is at now. Now it's a question of how long can he keep his fitness. And that the way he plays, you get the stage that he won't waste a step. Right? Like when you're younger, you go for a run up the right wing, for example, and Modric's in his position. You do a few of that and a few up the left wing. And then he'd realize, that's not the way to do it. I'm going to stop that. So every step you take means something, right? So the older you get, actually, the less running you'll do, but more effective you become. That's what makes the great players. But they have to have the mentality to learn from every match, to look back on every match and say, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done that. Like there's an old thing in football, and I said it before, you get players who play for 10 years and have 1 year's experience. And then you get a player who plays for 1 year, it's 10 years experience. In other words, he's learning the game. And there's no get. That's why Modric has become one of the master midfield players, because he knows exactly what he's doing in any given time.
John, brilliant stuff. We do, of course, live in an age where everything is the best thing ever. So we're reveling in this World Cup, saying maybe it was one of the greatest World Cups of all time. You've seen a few. Where does it rank?
Well, it was one of the most enjoyable, Nathan. There's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, we lost what we regard as the big teams. You know, Spain and Portugal, Germany and that. But it was very enjoyable, despite the fact that they went out of it. Yes. The lesser countries, as we call them lesser countries, stepped up to the mark and made it very enjoyable, very exciting. The best team won, and Modric and his Croatia team did themselves proud, and everybody else proud for that matter.
John, great stuff as always. Thanks a lot for joining us in studio over the course of the World Cup. We'll talk to you again very soon. Enjoy your summer. There's only about 3 weeks to go until the Community Shield. Anyways, it never fully ends. We'll take a quick break, and then we're back looking at the Battle of Omagh.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.